I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We got a loaded show for you guys today to kick off the week. Obviously, we got Olympics going on. Hopefully, everybody's been enjoying that over the weekend, the last couple days. We'll talk about that later on in the week. But plenty to get to today. We're going to talk college football. We'll start previewing some of the teams in the SEC today. We look at the Alabama Crimson Tide. Charlie Potter is standing by. We'll get to him in a few moments. We'll also continue our NFL preview, look at some of the teams in the AFC East as we look at the New England Patriots today. We got about 10 games on the Major League slate today. We'll give out some best bets on the diamond in baseball. Lucy Burge will join us later on in the show for Model Making Money, and then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. As always, any questions, comments, thoughts, best bets that you guys have for us, especially on Alabama football, let us know. Go to twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show, we got you covered with the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's get this thing rolling. We go to the Glasser guest line and check in with Charlie Potter. Give him a follow on X at @Charlie_Potter, senior team writer for Bama Online. And Charlie, I know you've been covering Bama football since 2013. In the last couple years, you probably thought about what it would be like to cover this team with Nick Saban no longer on the sidelines. Well, as we know, that's finally here. So what's this offseason been like without Nick Saban coaching Alabama?
It's been a different offseason for sure, because you could kind of set your watch to basically a week-by-week standpoint under Nick Saban. But it's been different. It's been hectic, but that's to be expected. And I do think, though, you're going through spring practice, having some stuff in the summer, you can just tell there's a more laid-back atmosphere and environment over at the Mount Moore facility under Kalen DeBoer. Just look at the guy. I mean, he's done what feels like a million interviews over the course of the summer. He's much more accessible, again, laid back. And I'll be interested to see how that translates to fall camp, because that starts up on Wednesday for Alabama. And I'm sure we'll get plenty from him, the assistant coaches, which is something we didn't get under Nick Saban, and then plenty of them from the players. So just from what I do, from that standpoint, it's been a lot different, but it's been refreshing. It's been good so far.
What have been just the overall impressions of DeBoer so far, and obviously the changes to the coaching staff, getting Kame Womack from South Alabama to be the new DC, get a new offensive coordinator, other coaching changes as well. What have been the early impressions of some of the guys on the staff?
I think it's been good. I think they kind of share that same mindset as DeBoer, and I think the players like that. Practices were different in the spring. You go out and you hear music. There's just it's like a fresh take on things. There's still that Alabama working mindset that's been there for the last 17 seasons, even before. But I think with this new coaching staff, they've done a good job on the field. They've done a good job forging relationships. I think that's translated to recruiting. It's all kind of come together this summer for a very good offseason. Again, we're going to learn a lot of Alabama about Alabama come October, early November, I think. But with DeBoer, with these coaches, I think it's been a good mesh of retaining some key pieces from Nick Saban's staff, whether it's Freddie Roach, Rob Gillespie from an on-field standpoint. You've got Dave Ballou, the strength coach, Jeff Allen, their head trainer, some guys that are former players on the off-field staff. But then bringing in guys from Washington like Nick Sheridan, like Jamarcus Shepherd, and then a Kane Womack from South Alabama and some other guys from across the country. It's kind of been just a good meshing of different mixes from a familiarity standpoint with Alabama, but kind of a fresh take on things and the way that they're going to be in Tuscaloosa from here on out.
Charlie, I think a lot of people felt like one of the first big decisions that DeBoer made was keeping Ryan Williams in Tuscaloosa. He originally committed when Saban was there, then decommitted for a little bit, and then ended up committing once again. Big-time recruit at wide receiver. What kind of impact do you expect him to make this season? And just what do we expect out of Alabama's receiving core? Obviously, I mean, the last decade, they've had so many dudes go in the first round from that position. What do you expect that group to look like this year?
Yeah, I don't know right now if there's like a first round talent like we've seen through the past decade plus, really starting with Julio Jones, but I think they can get to that point. I think what they bring back with Kendrick Law and Kobe Prentice, those are two experienced players. You know, add in guys like Emmanuel Henderson and Cole Adams, who are probably going to play larger roles. And then the new guys, Ryan Williams is obviously a big name, being a five-star player, number one player in the state of Alabama despite reclassifying. But Jeremy Bernard, the transfer from Washington, I think he could have wide receiver one potential. But I do think a lot of attention, and rightfully so, has been placed on Ryan Williams. And I think he's a guy that can come in and immediately contribute. He's done some good things in the summer. I don't know if he's going to be a game one or even a month one starter for Alabama, but if he produces maybe up to expectations from this coaching staff, maybe not from fans, but from the coaching staff, I definitely think we could see his role increase as the season progresses.
I got to talk to you about Jalen Milroe. He's one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman Trophy right now. Obviously, he had a great second half of the season last year. I think the Kellen DeBoer hiring for him, Charlie, is a really good match just because of how well Jalen throws the deep ball, and that's what they did really well at Washington when DeBoer was there, was really stretch the ball down the field. How do you expect Jalen kind of develop, especially as a passer under DeBoer this season?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, he has that home run ability. And I think, though, if he can progress in the intermediate and lower stages of the passing game, I think he could take his game to the next level because he has that huge arm. He has this explosive ability with his legs, which I think Kalen DeBoer and Nick Sheridan in this offense can really utilize to their advantage. And I think they'd kind of be dumb not to, given how dynamic he is as an athlete. But I think those kind of intermediate throws and some of the decision-making for Jalen Milroe is going to be big for him this year because, now granted, the offensive line has to improve, but he can't hold the ball as long as he did at some points last season. He has to make a decision to either dump it off to running back, throw it away, or just take off. So I think if he can continue to progress as a passer and as a quarterback, this offense can be really dangerous. But I think with what he has around him now, an offensive-minded coaching staff, I think the potential is certainly there for him to do just that.
Defensively, Charlie, obviously this team loses a bunch in the secondary. They lose Terrion Arnold. They lose Kool-Aid. Caleb Downs goes to Columbus to play for Ohio State. How do you expect the secondary to look? And who would you expect maybe to see at cornerback on the other side of Damani Jackson maybe to start the year?
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question mark is the back end because up front they're pretty strong. I do think the safeties, though, with Malachi Moore coming back and playing more of that back safety role, I think that's to pair him with Keon Sapp coming over from Michigan, you could arguably have the best safety duo in college football if they pan out and play well together, which I think they can. But yeah, corner is going to be a huge question mark for Alabama at the start of the season. I think it helps that they don't really have a huge test until week three going to Wisconsin. They open with Western Kentucky and South Florida, which should be good test for some of these young players, but it's good for them to get their feet wet because I think we could see a guy like Xavien Brown, who's a true freshman, step in and start right away. He's a guy that we saw kind of cap the spring as the starter opposite Damani Jackson. But then, Corner was obviously something that they wanted to address via the transfer portal during that spring window, and they brought in Deshaun Jones from Wake Forest. I think he's a guy that could push for that other spot. I really think when you look at the cornerback depth for Alabama, you can't really write anybody off in that scholarship room because you've got six dudes, five if you're not counting Damani Jackson, who looks to lock up one of those spots. So I think whether it's Brown, Jones, you have Jalen Mbakwe, Zay Mincy, even a guy like Jahlil Hurley. I think that competition at corner is kind of wide open, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how they kind of approach that and who comes out on top come game one and then maybe later on in the season.
Yeah, no doubt. You started to allude to some of those games on the schedule. Charlie, I went to school there. You've been covering the team for over a decade. Like, we know there are certain games that are bigger than others in the regular season. I mean, as we're sitting here now, like, I'm just already excited for that Georgia game, right? First SEC game for Kellen DeBoer. No more Saban versus Kirby Smart, like the new era beginning. I mean, like, how amped are you for that game? Like, as we're sitting here now, is it just a little bit different getting ready for that Georgia game than maybe some other games on the schedule?
It is. I think that's the one everybody's kind of circled. I think there are big games later, whether it's that – I think it's that three-game stretch of at Tennessee, Missouri, and at LSU will learn the most about this Alabama team. But I think that Georgia game, especially if it's a positive outcome for Alabama, really shapes the season. And, you know, the last time Georgia came to Tuscaloosa was 2020, so you haven't had a packed Bryant-Denny with the Bulldogs coming to town in quite some time. I think it's going to be an insane atmosphere. You know, that's – under the impression Alabama starts the season 3-0, which I think everybody thinks they will, it should be, you know, College Game Day, Nick Saban coming back to town. It should be just an unreal atmosphere. It's going to be a night game. So that's going to be exciting to see how that develops. But I think there are other games. Like, I don't think that's going to make or break Alabama's season. I don't think if Alabama loses to Georgia week four, I guess week five because it's after the bye week, that Alabama fans are just going to jump ship. I think later on are the ones that are really going to tell the tape, but that one, Alabama comes out on top, I think the expectations start to rise higher and higher for this Alabama team.
No question. And Charlie, that's how I'll leave this with you. I mean, what do you think is going to be prediction for this season? They got that Georgia game, but you mentioned, I mean, the road trips to Baton Rouge and Norman, Oklahoma, Tennessee. They got to play Missouri at home. They do have a difficult schedule. Right now, they're plus 105 to make the playoffs. So odds makers think there's a better chance they don't make it than they do make it. Ultimately, what do you think happens with Bama this year?
I think that middle of the stretch of the season, we're going to really learn about this Alabama team. And I think if they can go on the road and win at Tennessee and LSU, I think they'll be in great shape. I think that road trip to Norman is going to be tough because it's right there before the Iron Bowl. And yeah, that's usually kind of the FCS week for Alabama. But I definitely think, you know, 10 wins is very doable for this team. That's the question of then – are they sitting there at third in the SEC? Could they be the third SEC team to squeak into the college football playoff? I think that's possible. I think they could certainly exceed that. I'd be surprised if they go below that. But right now, it just seems like getting to double-digit wins, while it is a difficult schedule, it's spaced out to where it's manageable for Alabama. So I think 10 wins and you're knocking on that college football playoff is definitely a realistic outcome for Alabama this fall.
Can't wait to see what happens first year under Kellen DeBoer. He's Charlie Potter. Give him a follow on X at @Charlie_Potter, senior team writer for Bama Online. Charlie, great meeting you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the season, and hope to catch up again soon.
Yeah, no problem, man. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Great stuff from Charlie Potter. We continue previewing Alabama for the upcoming season. And as you guys can see on your screen, there is the schedule, which Charlie was alluding to. Open up with Western Kentucky and South Florida. Remember, no bye weeks in college football. And obviously, with all the changes that Bama made on their coaching staff, it is nice that they get those two games at home, kind of get their feet wet a little bit, and then the season really begins. Tough road game at Wisconsin. That'll be that Fox noon kickoff, so that'll be an 11 a.m. local kick there in Madison. Then you get the bye week and the big one against Georgia. And then look at that schedule that Charlie was talking about. That stretch with Tennessee, Missouri, LSU, Oklahoma before the Iron Bowl. That's really where Alabama's season is either going to be playoff bound or they're going to be sitting at home and watching. But it's a tough schedule. The road slate's tough. Their win total is sitting at 9.5 games right now. And that does feel about right. A lot of people think that they're going to lose that game to Georgia. I actually think they're going to win that game against Georgia. We talked about this a couple weeks ago when I was looking at some of my favorite game of the year lines. I just think the reason that we love college football, the reason that we love sports, like it's just too perfect that now that Saban is gone, everybody thinks Kirby Smart and Georgia are now going to beat Alabama, and all the success that Bama had against Georgia isn't going to happen anymore. Kellen DeBoer, if there's one thing that he showed us at Washington, he is an excellent big game coach, especially in the regular season. He beat Dan Lanning, went 3-0 against him, beat Sark in Texas last year in the college football playoff. He's undefeated in ranked matchups. He's an excellent big game coach. And I just think everybody's going to like Georgia in that game. Everybody thinks Georgia is going to be the new Alabama, which certainly they're heading that way, and they might be. But I just think the way that college football works, Bama might win that game, and then everybody will be like, oh boy, Saban's gone, but Bama's not going anywhere. I think the middle part of their schedule is where things could get a little bit tricky. They're going to lose that game to Tennessee. Obviously, they had that great winning streak against Tennessee where they beat them for 14 straight years. Tennessee beat them in Knoxville a couple years ago. We'll see about Nico. You know, we only got to see him play one game in the bowl game. You can't deny the talent. Most talented quarterback Tennessee has had since Peyton Manning, the highest recruited quarterback that they've had. Neyland is such a tough place to play, especially when Bama comes to town. I think that'll be a tough game. I think they lose one of the road games to LSU and Oklahoma. I don't think they lose both, but I don't think they win both either. So I think they drop one of those games. And then Missouri game, I think, is going to be tough. The thing that we have to remember with Bama that doesn't get talked about enough with Saban's greatness. We all talk about the record, all the national titles, all the first-round draft picks, all these different things. The greatest part about Nick Saban is that when we went through a schedule like this and we tried to pick out what are the games that Bama's going to win, what are the games that Bama was going to lose, all of the games that everybody agreed with that Bama was going to win, Nick Saban would always win those games. It was the coin flip games, right? Like it was the Georgia, it was the Tennessee, it was the LSU. Those were the games that he would lose. But the games like the Wisconsin, the games like home against Auburn, the games like home against South Carolina, those kind of games, Nick Saban would always win. And that's what I think we have to change our mindset around, especially with Bama, is Kellen DeBoer and Washington went 9-0 last year in one-score games. They went over 2 months playing games that were decided by 10 points or less, and that's just not going to happen anymore where a team goes 9-0. It's just one of those magical seasons. So there might be a game that we don't expect Bama to drop that maybe they do along the way. I think they drop a couple of those road games, so we'll see. I have Bama at 9-3 this season, so I would probably go under their win total. And then whether or not they make the college football playoff, if they beat Georgia like I think they will, that win is obviously going to hold a lot of weight. So we'll see what happens. I think because it is at plus money, at plus 105, I do think Bama is worth the bet, but certainly interesting. And then we've also talked about earlier in the week, Jalen Milroe to win the Heisman. I like that quite a bit. As I was talking with Charlie, I think Kellen DeBoer is a perfect match for him. Jalen loves to throw the ball deep, and if you watch Washington the last 2 years, that's where they excel, the deep passing game. You combine that with the fact that Jalen's one of the fastest players not only on Bama but in college football. I think 10-1, he would be my bet to win the Heisman Trophy. All right, let's move on now, talk some NFL, and dive in to the New England Patriots as we go from one coaching legend in Nick Saban to another in Bill Belichick and his former team, the Patriots. Gerard Mayo obviously takes over for the Pats in year one. Still don't know who's going to be their week one starter. Right now, Jacoby Brissett is listed as the number one starter on the depth chart. They did draft Drake May out of North Carolina with the number three overall pick. Look at this schedule, though, for New England. Look at those first six. They're going to go 0-6 to start the season. At Cincinnati, home against Seattle, at the Jets, at the 49ers, home against the Dolphins, home against the Texans. That is brutal. Maybe they win the Seahawks game, and maybe they upset somebody else along the way, but that is brutal. Then you got to travel out to London to play the Jags, get the Jets again. It's a tough schedule. Right now, New England's win total is 4.5. If you want to bet the over, it's minus 160. 5.5 wins. The under is minus 200. I think if anything, betting New England under 4.5 wins at plus 130, probably would be the way to go. Definitely don't want to bet this team to win the division. Don't want to bet them to make the playoffs either. I think the only bets worth making would probably be New England under 4.5 wins because you're getting a good price at plus 130. Or maybe you take a shot with Drake May to win Rookie of the Year at 25-1. And who knows how much he's going to play. New England's receiving core is abysmal. It's Kendrick Bourne, DeMario Douglas, Jalen Polk, and Juju Smith-Schuster. That's the receiving core in New England. The offensive line isn't very good, and they got a rookie head coach. So Drake May really isn't set up in a great spot, but again, because of the supporting cast, if he's able to elevate the guys around him and New England's able to win 7 or 8 games this year, even if they don't make the playoffs, because of what was expected of them, Drake May might have a shot at winning this award. So getting the number 3 overall pick, who's a quarterback at 25-1, I don't think is an awful bet. There are certainly guys that I like better for the award at Rookie of the Year, Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I think Drake May potentially could be worth a bet. If I had to take anything, though, with New England, it would be under 4.5 wins at plus 130. All right, let's talk some baseball now. Getting a little big league, Peach. We got a doubleheader out in Baltimore today between the Blue Jays and the Orioles. Yariel Rodriguez on the mound for Toronto in Game 1. Zach Eflin, who the O's acquired a couple days ago, makes his Orioles debut. Baltimore minus 190. The Blue Jays are plus 155. Orioles are really struggling right now. Nothing is coming easy for them. Zach Eflin's making his Orioles debut. Think maybe it could be a little bit rocky. I think the Blue Jays win Game 1 at plus 155. I think the Orioles with Cade Povich against Bowden Francis win Game 2. So I would take the Jays Game 1 plus 155, Orioles Game 2 minus 165. Then we got the Guardians and Tigers in Detroit. Tanner Beebe against Jack Flaherty. Little surprised, honestly, that Cleveland is the favorite on the road in this game. I know they just came off of a series winning 2 out of 3 games against the Phillies. Flaherty's been good this year for the Tigers. They're at home. I thought there was a great chance that maybe this game could be a pick-em. Maybe Detroit could even be favored in the game. So I think that there is some value on Detroit here. I like them at plus 105 with Jack Flaherty. Yankees and Phillies tonight in Philadelphia. Luis Gil going up against Zach Wheeler. Good pitching matchup. Yanks plus 125. The Phillies are minus 150. Anytime you see Zach Wheeler starting in a game and the total is sitting at 9, that looks a little bit suspicious for me. Good hitting weather out in Philadelphia today. Yankees lineup was great in that series against the Red Sox. I think we're going to see some runs today. I'll take the over 9 in Phillies and Yankees, one of my favorite plays of the day in Major League Baseball. Then we got the Cubs and the Reds. Jameson Taillon against Carson Spires. It's pick a minus 110 each way. Taillon's been good for the Cubs this year. He's got an ERA under 3. Spires has an ERA under 4. So both pitchers have been good this year, yet we got another high total of 9.5. Cubs offense has been rocking the last couple days against the Royals. I'll take another over at 9.5. Twins and Mets today in New York at Citi Field. Both teams playing good baseball. Mets got Jose Quintana on the mound. The Twins have Simeon Woods Richardson. I'm going to go with the player prop in this game, and I'll go with the Twins starter, Simeon Woods Richardson, over 1.5 walks at minus 120. He has issued 2 or more walks in 5 of his last 7 games. Control's been a little bit wayward. Mets offense has been much better here the last couple months, so I will go over 2.5 walks for Woods Richardson at minus 120. Mariners and Red Sox tonight in Fenway. Logan Gilbert on the mound for the Mariners going up against Nick Pivetta. Logan Gilbert faced the Red Sox all the way back on March 30th, opening day, and he was awesome. 7 innings pitched, 4 hits, 1 earned run. Think he does well again against the Red Sox today. I'll go under 8.5. Rangers and Cardinals today in St. Louis. Nathan Eovaldi against Andre Palat. Texas has been rolling, and then they just got swept by the Toronto Blue Jays. Lost 3 straight. Cardinals have kind of been an up-and-down team, too. This game does feel like it's a total toss-up. I'm staying away. I'm going to go with the over in Braves and Brewers. Colin Ray against Grant Holmes. Atlanta's starting an opener today. Anytime a team starts an opener, I always tend to like betting the over. So I'll do that today. Over 8 in Braves and Brewers. Go with another over, 9 in White Sox and Royals. The handicap for this one, Chris Flexen stinks. We'll go over 9. Pirates and Astros today. It's Paul Skeens Day going up against Jake Bloss. Everybody loves Paul Skeens. He's an absolute beast. But the Astros as home dogs is pretty juicy, and they're playing great baseball. I'll take the Stros today, plus 115. Nationals in Arizona to take on the D-backs. I'll take another dog. Give me the Nats at plus 140. It's a Monday. Let's go to Motto Making Money and check in with Lucy Burge, who is standing by. Going to talk a little New England Patriots with her, little MLB trade deadline. Lucy, before we do that, though, let's give out some picks. What is the BetQL five-star motto like for today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Happy Monday. The model agrees with you. Five-star play for today, Astros money line. This was at plus 115 against the Pirates. The Astros have won three of their last four games, and they are second in batting average in the league behind the Padres. And the Pirates have lost three of their last four and also a few of their last five. And Paul Skenes will be on the mound for the Pirates. However, he could still pitch well and get the loss. So he did this in his last start. So the BetQL model loves the Astros money line as a five-star play today.
Very good. I'm riding the Astros as well. Lucy, what are you on today? What are some of your favorite bets?
Yes, I have some Lucy Longball bets for today. But first, Matt Olson, over 1.5 total bases. He has hit this in his last two games with a home run in each of those games. And I am so mad at myself. Just to note, side note, yesterday, I was going to give out Pete Alonso and Matt Olson each to hit a home run, and I didn't. And they both hit a home run. So Matt Olson, I'm just over one. Oh, I'm killing myself over this. But over 1.5 total bases for him today. He has also gone over this in four of his last five games. And against Colin Ray, he is batting 500 with a home run in two at-bats. So I think he can keep that going and go over on bases today. And then Austin Riley to hit a home run. He has two home runs in his last seven games, including one yesterday as well. And he has 14 home runs this season. And against Colin Ray, he has one home run in two at-bats. And this feels just like a good night for him because of all of those factors. And then Juan Soto to hit a home run. He has hit four home runs in his last six games, 27 home runs this season. Against Zach Wheeler, he has three home runs already and 12 total hits off of him. So I like this spot for Juan Soto to hit a home run.
All right, very nice. Lucy, the Padres played the Orioles over the weekend, and I was pretty impressed with San Diego, and their lineup reminds me a lot of the Texas Rangers from last year. I kind of think the Padres might win the World Series this year. I took them at 45-1. They're down to 30-1 now. I still think that's a good bet. Any thoughts for you on San Diego?
I don't hate it. They were my pick last year to win the World Series, and that didn't exactly work out. But I think this is a good bet. I agree with you. This is a good bet if you don't believe in curses. I believe the Padres are cursed. The fans who sang that song on the local news 2 years ago, the That's What's In song or That's What's It song or however they sang it, which is always stuck in my head. It cursed them. It cursed them. So I am very reluctant to take the Padres to do anything because until they win, I firmly believe that song sent them down a spiral, down a dark hole. So I'm reluctant to take the Padres until they do something, until they show me they're not cursed. I'm staying away from them.
I forgot about that, but you know what? They haven't been the same since, Lucy, so you might be up to something there. Before I let you go, we talked about the New England Patriots today. We were saving it for when we knew you were going to be on the show because we had to talk some Patriots with Lucy Burge. Lucy, it's going to be a long year for you watching the Patriots, and I think you know that, but you just want to see some guys that you can build around, right? Do you think we see Drake May this season, like at some point? And what do you think happens with the Patriots this year?
Yes, I hope we do see Drake May. I know you said that you would take the under on their win total. I happen to agree with you. There's so many unknowns with this team, new head coach. I was going to say, why would happen? Take the over. No, the under, I think, is the play here. But I really hope we see Drake May. And I think we will. I think we will just because the franchise needs a fresh face. And let's say Jacoby Brissett doesn't start off so hot. I think we will see Drake. I don't think they will be afraid to start Drake May sooner rather than later.
I agree. Lucy, real quick, MLB trade deadline tomorrow. Give me a player that you would like to see traded. You want to see a Jeff Passan tweet and you're just like, oh yes, chaos. Love it. Who's that guy?
Yes, I would love to see Tarese Skubal get traded and traded to the Red Sox. I would like to see a Jeff Passan tweet that says breaking, and that he will have this first, breaking that Skubal will go to the Red Sox for like how many years, how many dollars, whatever, for whomever. I think that would be my dream come true. So I would like to see that very much.
There you go. Lucy, I mean, who knows? Maybe it could happen. We'll see. Can't wait.
Wild
MLB dream. Trade deadline tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Lucy Burge, Jake Kassan, make sure you catch their show, Bet Slips and Bat Flips, coming up 2 p.m. Eastern time right here on the BetQL Network. Lucy, have a great show, and we'll catch up again later in the week.
Thank you, PJ. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, time to wrap the show now with PJ's plays, and we are going streaking today with Bobby Witt Jr. Might just need to change his name to Bobby Hit Jr. That's all he does. He's on a 10-game hitting streak, and he's going up against Chris Flexen, who he's 5-for-8 against in his career. Bobby's batting .341 this season. I feel like every time we've gone to him, he's gotten a hit as well. Bobby Witt, love him today. Take his player props over. Bet him to hit a home run. He's our guy in going streaking. Prop lock is going to be Simeon Woods Richardson of the Twins, over 1.5 walks allowed at -120. He has issued 2 or more walks in 5 of his last 7 starts. In his last 2 starts, he's only given up 1 walk each, which I think is why this is only juiced to -120. I think on the road today against that Mets lineup that's been doing a pretty good job making contact, I'll go over 1.5 walks allowed for Simeon Woods Richardson. Dog of the day is going to be the Houston Astros +115 against the Pirates. I love the fact that the BetQL model likes it. Look, Skeens is a monster, but you're starting to see it a little bit, and just the way that baseball works is when you're that elite of a pitcher, you just don't get run support. I could see this game being 1-0, 2-1 in the 7th inning, and the Astros find a way to win it in the end. I'll take Houston at +115. Shawnee Sharp is laying the 22.5 with the U.S. women's basketball team against Japan today, and my best bet is going to be Jalen Milroe to win the Heisman Trophy at 10-1. I really think he's going to win it. He was great the second half of last year with DeBoer coming over. Jalen is my pick. Once again, our best bets for today: Bobby Witt Jr. to get a base hit is my guy in going streaking against Chris Flexen. Simeon Woods Richardson, over 1.5 walks allowed against the Mets. Astros, my dog of the day at +115. Jalen Milroe to win the Heisman, my best bet. Thanks again to Charlie Potter, Lucy Burge for joining the show today. Jenny Carlson joins us tomorrow to talk Oklahoma. We also look at the New York Jets. And as always, if you guys miss any part of the show, make sure you go check out the Send It In podcast. We'll see you tomorrow.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.